I stood at the door before ringing the bell. It was Mother's Day, and I was standing at a door holding a present, which would have been quite normal if it was a present for my mother. But my mother was long dead, and I didn't keep in touch with any of my foster mothers, let alone bring them gifts. The present was for Philip's mother. Again, this would have been very normal if Philip had been there with me. He wasn't. He had called from his office an hour ago to say he couldn't get away. Did I want to go alone, or would I rather wait for him? I had opted to go, and now stood there wondering if that was the right decision. Did a woman visit her boyfriend's mother on Mother's Day without said boyfriend? Maybe I was trying too hard. It wouldn't be the first time. Human rules confounded me. It wasn't as if I'd been raised in a cave. Before I became a werewolf, I'd already learned the basic mechanics, how to hail a taxi, operate an elevator, apply for a bank account, all the minutiae of human life. The problem came with human interactions. My childhood had been pretty screwed up. Then, when I'd been on the cusp of becoming an adult, I'd been bitten and spent the next 10 years of my life with other werewolves. Even during those years, I hadn't been locked away from the human world. I'd gone back to university, traveled with the others, even taken on jobs. But they'd always been there, for support and protection and companionship. I hadn't needed to make it on my own. I hadn't needed to make friends or take lovers or go to lunch with coworkers, so I hadn't. Last year, when I broke with the others and came back to Toronto alone, I thought fitting in would be the least of my concerns. How tough could it be? I'd just take the basics I'd learned from childhood, mix in the adult conversational skills I'd learned with the others, toss in a dash of caution, and voila, I'd be making friends and chatting up new acquaintances in no time. Ha! Was it too late to leave? I didn't want to leave. Taking a deep breath, I rang the doorbell. Moments later, a flurry of footsteps erupted inside. Then a round-faced woman with graying brown hair answered.
Elena! Diana said, throwing the door open. Mom, Elena's here. Is Philip parking the car? I can't believe how packed the street is. Everyone out visiting.
Actually, Philip's not, with me. He had to work, but he'll be along soon.
Working? On a Sunday? Have a talk with him, girl.
Diane braced the door open.
Come in, come in. Everyone's here.
Philip's mother, Anne, appeared from behind his sister. She was tiny, not even reaching my chin, with a sleek iron-gray page boy.
Still ringing the doorbell, dear, she said, reaching up to hug me. Only salesmen ring the bell. Family walks right in.
Philip will be late, Diane said. He's working.
Anne made a noise in her throat and ushered me inside. Philip's father, Larry, was in the kitchen pilfering pastries from a tray.
Those are for dessert, Dad, Anne said, shooing him away.
Larry greeted me with a one-armed hug, the other hand still clutching a brownie.
So where's...
Late, Diane said, working. Come into the living room, Elena. Mom invited the neighbors, Sally and Juan, for lunch.
Her voice lowered to a whisper.
Their kids are all out west.
She pushed open the French doors. Before you got here, Mom was showing them your last few articles in Focus Toronto.
Uh-oh,
is that good or bad?
Oh, don't worry. They're staunch liberals. They loved your stuff. Oh, here we are. Sally, Juan, this is Elena Michaels, Philip's girlfriend.
Philip's girlfriend. That always sounded odd. Not because I objected to being called a girlfriend instead of partner or anything as ridiculously politically correct. It struck me because it had been years since I'd been anyone's girlfriend. I didn't do relationships. For me, if it lasted the weekend, it was getting too serious. My one and only lengthy relationship had been a disaster. More than a disaster. Catastrophic. Philip was different. I'd met Philip a few weeks after I'd moved back to Toronto. He'd been living in an apartment a few blocks away. Since our buildings shared a property manager, tenants in his complex had access to the health club in mine. He'd come to the pool one day after midnight and, finding me alone swimming laps, he had asked if I minded if he did some, as if I had the right to kick him out. Over the next month, we'd often found ourselves alone in the health club late at night. Each time he'd checked to make sure I was comfortable being alone there with him. Finally, I'd said that the reason I was working out in the health club was to ensure I didn't need to worry about being attacked by strange men, and I'd be defeating the whole purpose if I was nervous about having him there. That had made him laugh. and he'd lingered after his workout and bought me a juice from the vending machine. Once the post-workout juice break became a habit, he worked his way up the meal chain with invitations to coffee, then lunch, then dinner. By the time we got around to breakfast, it was nearly 6 months from the day we'd met in the pool. That might have been part of the reason I let myself fall for him, flattered that anyone would put that amount of time and effort into getting to know me. Philip wooed me with all the patience of someone trying to coax a half-wild animal into the house, and, like many a stray, I found myself domesticated before I thought to resist.